Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday, August the 21st, 2025. Thank you for listening to AFR. A lot to talk about today, and joining me in studios, Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman, good morning.
Good morning, filling in.
Filling in for?
Ray Pritchard.
Ray Pritchard.
Yeah.
Those are some size 13 shoes you got to
fill right
there.
Probably shouldn't have said that then. I take that back. I'm just here hanging out.
We expect you know, your theological training come out like a Ray's would if he were here. good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning to you.
Okay, let me tell you folks, we have scheduled an interview an hour from now with Ambassador Mike Huckabee, the U.S. Ambassador to Israel. So I say scheduled because you know how these ambassador people are. You know, they'll cancel on you because they got something, quote, more important to do, end quote.
Now, he's there, though, right?
Yeah, he lives there.
Yeah. He does, yeah. He's in Jerusalem. I think he's over there now. I don't think he's back in the States, but we look forward to visiting with Mike Huckabee coming up an hour from now. Well, some sad news to report, and that is that Dr. James Dobson, the legendary radio broadcaster and ministry founder of Focus on the Family, many of our listeners right now, you know, grew up, on, so to speak, on Dr. Dobson's Focus on the Family program, immensely popular back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, through that era. And one gentleman that worked for Dr. Dobson closely is our own Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word. He heard each afternoon here on AFR, and he's with us now. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing?
Are you speaking at Charlie Kirk's event sometime today, or?
Actually, Charlie Kirk is speaking at our event today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. We've been doing, in addition to our youth camps, a speaker series on biblical worldview, and we had Gary Chapman and Lauren Green. But tonight in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, is Charlie Kirk, and so we're setting up for that event tonight. And I got a call, not completely unexpected, but the passing of my former boss and in many, many ways mentor, James Dobson. One of his staff called me last week and said, please pray, Dr. Dobson is not well. But, you know.
Well, he was 89, right? 89 years old?
89 years old, yes.
Yeah. And still living in Colorado Springs, I guess?
Still living in Colorado Springs, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know, how long did you work there at Focus on the Family for Dr. Dobson?
A total of 8 years.
And what was your interaction and role there, interaction with him and your role?
I went in as director of teen apologetics. And, you know, the day I walked in the door had budget to work with and some staff. It was amazing. We had, you know, we had done a lot of things back on the East Coast. And Christianity Today did a little tiny piece on what I was doing with youth and biblical worldview. And I got a call from H.B. London, his cousin, and the VP of Focus on the Family in 2003, so 22 years ago. And he said, hey, we know who you are. We're looking for some youth apologetics, may my cousin Jim Dobson give you a call? And I was like, sure. And so Dr. Dobson called me up and he said, I'm going to cut to the chase. I want you to bring your circus under our tent. And 2.5 months later, my wife and I were living in Colorado Springs, and you know, it was fantastic. He was brilliant. He was godly. And but I want to say, Tim, much like your father, in the 1970s, God raised up some leaders to help save the nation, and one of whom was Don Wildman, Charles Colson, Phyllis Schlafly, I would say Adrian Rogers, Bill Bright, but also James C. Dobson. And let me just say that his homegoing is just a reminder for those of us left behind that we must carry the torch, preserve the legacy, and keep on proclaiming truth to our world. But I would say seriously, and it was my extreme privilege to work with him and work for him and be involved in things like the Truth Project and so many radio shows. And I would say, you know, Tim, when you and I met, I think it was in 2009, but the work I did with Dr. Dobson really groomed and prepared me for the role that I would be so privileged to play with AFA. But Dobson was...
You know, his radio program that he started, Focus on the Family, was at one time, the most listened to talk show or radio program, period, in all of Christian radio. That would have been in the 80s and 90s, probably. And then, but he also had that radio program, Focused on the Family, during that era, was probably a top five program, period, not just in Christian radio. Yeah. You know?
You know, I think Rush Limbaugh at his peak was on like 660 stations. And there was a time when Dobson was on 2,000 stations. I mean,
he's a member of the Radio Hall of Fame.
We will be.
I'm looking at, huh?
We will be one day.
You and I.
Don't you?
I'm not holding my breath.
No, you're not holding your breath.
No.
Amen.
And I'm looking at a American Family News story about the passing of Dr. Dobson. He was an advisor to five U.S. presidents, as well as being a New York Times best-selling author, and he's the founder of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. He left in 2010. He departed from Focus on the Family, which he started, and then started the Family Institute, Dobson Family Institute,
and Family Talk Radio, which we air here on American Family Radio. Yeah.
He was also recognized by NRB. Is I forgot the exact title there, but
Hall of Fame,
yep.
National Religious Broadcasters.
He was just a titan, along with Don Wildman and some Jerry Falwell,
Kennedy.
These were titans on the culture war landscape.
Phyllis Schlafly, Tim LaHaye.
I mean, what a generation of leaders, and you know, just.
Yeah.
Godly men and women who understood the peril facing our republic, and God raised them up and gave them the ability and the opportunity to impact our nation, and they did it. They took it.
Yeah. Well, listen, Alex, thanks so much for making time on such a short notice. I asked you about 15 minutes ago, could you be on? You said yes. So, Charlie Kirk will be speaking tonight in Myrtle Beach.
7 p.m. tonight, we're at the Alabama Theater, and if you go to their website, Alabama Theater, you can get a ticket, and we've got people coming from 17 states, I'm told, and I met Charlie Kirk several years ago. We wanted to book him, and so, folks, please be in prayer for tonight, but I just want to be on record and say that I owe so much to Dr. Dobson. He put me on the radio, and Southern accent and all. Tyndale Publishers, I had not even started working at Focus on the Family when Tyndale Publishers came asking me to write books, and now Bert Harper and I have our third book coming out, but it's my 21st book. But James Dobson was a mighty man of God.
Amen.
And so much about what I've mm-hmm. been able to be a part of, I owe to James Dobson, and I just pray for Shirley and Ryan and Lene, and just God's mm-hmm. comfort for the family. But Church of God, may we carry on the fight.
Amen. Amen. All right, thanks, Alex. Hope you have a great event tonight.
Thanks, brothers. God bless.
Okay.
Fred? He will. I mean, Charlie Kirk's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's a great get for him. Yeah.
You know, what I remember about James Dobson going back a number of years, he was a frequent guest on Larry King's program mm-hmm. on CNN.
Yeah.
He would have him on. But also Focus on the Family radio program, along with Jerry Falwell's Old Time Gospel Hour. You know, they had to do different programs for going into Canada.
Yeah.
Now, this is years ago. We're talking probably 25, 30 years ago. Because what they were talking about, They didn't want the public in Canada to know. Canada's, broadcast standards people.
Yeah.
And what they were talking about is pretty mild compared to what we have to talk about today.
Yes.
Of what's going on in our culture. So, but he never stopped. And it was great when he was on with Larry King. And kudos to Larry King. He wasn't sarcastic and nasty. He really wanted to know where Dr. Dobson stood on the issues and why.
Larry King was respectful usually to Billy Graham and
yes.
other Christian leaders.
Yeah.
He understood a lot more. I'm talking about Larry King, and I know we're not talking about Larry King per se, but he understood more than your modern quote unquote media people, that you don't antagonize a large percentage of your audience.
Yeah.
When you have a respected guest on from the Christian community, you treat them with respect. You don't get that a lot with some of the media people today. One of the things I appreciated about Dr. Dobson, and really Brother Don, is both of those gentlemen, they were firm and steadfast in their presentation of the gospel and Christian truth, but their demeanors when they were on these programs was Christian.
Yeah.
They were respectful, but they were firm in what they believed. They were impressive in a lot of ways when they spoke. Mm-hmm. And these sometimes hostile.
The last time I personally saw Dr. Dobson was probably six or seven years ago in Asheville, North Carolina at the Billy Graham Cove Center.
Yeah.
He was a speaker for us at one of our events there. We did about 5 years in a row, and Dr. James Dobson came 1 year. And I just remember he would have been, 84 then, 83. I just remember he was so eager to get out and walk.
Yeah.
He said,
shoes.
Yeah. He said, I got to get out and walk. He walked a mile or whatever. He said, I haven't missed a day in 5 years or something.
Oh,
like
wow.
That.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's how you make it to 89.
Yeah. I guess that's what I was saying. You can do that or you can eat another slice of pizza.
Okay, so now we're talking about me.
Yeah.
So the one person,
he's looking at you when he said it.
The one person you're implying needs to get out and walk. Look right at
him
and pick your favorite food.
Right. I like that extra slice of pizza myself.
Yes.
So
pizza's not my favorite food.
I don't. Yeah. It's not really
rigatoni with a good marinara sauce is probably my favorite.
It's really not that bad for you too. It's got dairy.
Pizza?
It's got meat.
Yeah.
You got protein.
Cheese. You said dairy, yeah.
Protein. I usually don't have. I just usually have cheese pizza.
Yeah,
okay. I don't put a lot of the fattening meats on it.
Oh,
you know, I try to
protein.
You have a healthy approach to pizza, right? All right, Fred. We saddened to hear of the passing, but Dr. James Dobson, obviously a devout Christian man, he's in the presence of the Lord God.
Amen.
Today, 89 years of age. All right, what's your first story, Fred?
Well, the battle that your dad, Tim, and Dr. Dobson, D. James Kenney, and others that we mentioned, the battle continues. And one of the front lines in the battle, the war, is our nation's schools. And we know there have been at least three states, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Texas, that wanted to have the Ten Commandments in those schools, just mounted there, just so people could see it, and for all the reasons that we've talked about before. Well, for the third time in recent weeks, a federal judge has said to these states, you can't do it. And the latest was yesterday in Texas. U.S. District Judge Fred Byrie, by the way, appointed by Bill Clinton, he said, no, Texas, you cannot do that. Well, I'm putting a hold on this. And I wanted to read you some of the quotes from his decision. All right, quotation from Judge Byrie. Even though the Ten Commandments would not be affirmatively taught, the captive audience of students likely would have questions, which teachers would feel compelled to answer. That is what they do, Byrie, who was appointed by Bill Clinton. That's what he wrote in the ruling. He says, this might cause students to ask questions about where the Ten Commandments come from. What do they mean?
Really?
And that teachers would be compelled mm-hmm. to answer the questions. And somehow this judge said, ooh, that's bad. But also, another quote here.
You know your voice is rising, right, Fred?
I know.
He's hot.
Yeah. Having the displays in classrooms, Byrie wrote, would likely pressure children of the parents challenging them into adopting the state's preferred religion and suppressing their own religious beliefs. The judge said there, I'm reading from an AP story here, by the way. The judge said there are ways students could be taught the Ten Commandments history without its being placed in every classroom. Quote from the judge, for those who disagree with the court's decision and who would do so with threats, vulgarities, and violence, grace and peace unto you, he wrote. May humankind of all faiths, beliefs and non-beliefs, be reconciled one to another.
I read some of this ruling this morning. It's long. It's 55 pages. So this happened recently, and I couldn't get through all of it. I noticed that what the judge did, God bless you, Tim.
Thank you.
I hope people are influenced by the fact that I mentioned God when they heard you say
right. It's not in the Ten Commandments.
It's not. But I noted that he started off talking about how Homo sapiens, he referred to Homo sapiens throughout the ruling, okay, not people. He wanted to make sure he was seen as promoting, quote-unquote, the scientific view of mankind. And he said that human beings invented religion to deal with their own mortality. So he comes from a secular, humanistic, Darwinian perspective. His reasoning here is the same as the Supreme Court reasoning in Stone v. Graham, which I think was a Kentucky case where they had posted the Ten Commandments. I want to say that was 1980.
Right.
And the reasoning of the Supreme Court and these other courts in the Louisiana and Texas case is the same. They say that the posting of the Ten Commandments will influence young people, will cause them to even obey the Ten Commandments because they're posted in an official capacity by the school. And of course, we're not allowed to do that. Meanwhile, and I know I'm not trying to short-circuit our discussion here on this particular ruling, because there will be a couple of other stories here that tie into this. Meanwhile, the schools have no problem putting pride flags up and other pro-LGBTQ posters, so on and so forth. So it's clear that what we're dealing with here is a war against God and a substitution of the Ten Commandments with a state-sponsored religious view. Because if the Supreme Court is right that posting the Ten Commandments in school will cause students to agree with those Ten Commandments, then posting pro-homosexual stuff will cause kids to do the same thing.
Yeah.
It'll cause them to agree with the pro-LGBTQ ideology, and that's what we've been seeing for the last 20 years.
You know, I was thinking the same thing.
Hey, man, you're right on.
Hey, in all seriousness, I was following you. I was following along all the way. The only thing that I would add to what you said, again, that was really well done, Ed, especially pointing out the rainbow flag and the LGBT.
Yeah.
You're going to see that across many schools and public schools. The only thing that I would add is that just thinking through it reasonably, now I know you have to consider everything you just said.
Yeah.
The court, 1980 court case, the legal side of things, I get that. However, who benefits from the Ten Commandments? Everyone does.
Right.
Non-Christians alike, secularists, the progressives, everyone benefits from not stealing other people's stuff. Everyone benefits from not having being in an adulterous relationship.
Right.
Everyone benefits from not lying. And the list goes on and on and on. Now, if you're a non-Christian, you can pick or choose the two or three at the top. Non-Christian, be like, I'm not really about making God first in my life. Okay. Everyone else, all the moral code, everyone benefits from it.
Right.
And so to act like this is something that's going to lead to it's certainly not going to lead to, in fact, it helps. It benefits
right.
A lot of people, because if you look at a lot of the issues that happen in schools, whether it be violence or shootings or theft or any of these types of things, could be resolved or could have been potentially prevented by someone being convicted by walking by the Ten Commandments.
Right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, this is kind of disappointing because I had hoped to, if the Ten Commandments had been allowed to stay on the walls, I was hoping next we could promote forced baptisms for everybody in America and do so in a way that I would approve of.
You think that's the same huh? thing?
It's two totally different things.
That's the same thing.
Well, I'm being facetious to make a point. That's what the left would say about.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
They would say, "See there, those people, those right wing nuts, man. They just want to force. They want to force everybody's children to go to a vacation Bible school and baptized and everything like that." Listen, the Ten Commandments. We don't have time to go into it right now, but Stephen McDowell or David Barton or others. Could wax eloquent on this. The Ten Commandments were foundational to early American history.
They were taught in those classrooms, yep.
Yeah, yeah. And so...
For the reasons I mentioned, everyone benefits from
right.
it.
Right,
yeah.
It's stealing.
And America, so... And I'm just what's called the West, you know, where you have... democracy and representative government and those kinds of things, freedom and liberty, and as opposed to the communist countries or the Islamic controlled countries, then but the Ten Commandments were, one of the founding documents, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something bold?
Sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify yesterday's ruling from this judge. It applies to public schools in Houston, Austin, and other select districts. So it's not the whole state. So I just want to
clarify. Even though it was a federal judge.
Yes.
Because,
I just want to clarify
because it
that.
Was certain people from those districts that challenged it.
Yes, there was, according to the AP, the law is being challenged by a group of Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Unitarian Universalist, and non-religious families, including clergy, who have children in public schools.
All right, look, I want to say something bold here, okay?
You go bold.
I'm going bold. Go bold or go home. Mm-hmm. All right. I understand that my belief. Oh, got them. All right.
Can you get it? Can you squeeze your belief in 30 seconds, or you want to come back after the break?
Let's come back after the break. Brent did that on purpose. He knew I was going to go bold, and he started the
clock is
music.
What it is, man.
We'll just wait. I'll come back. And I'll give my bold, challenging statement. It might or might not get me in trouble with the world.
Well,
you know,
I've already given the. What's the group in Southern Poverty Law Center?
Oh, yeah.
I've already given them some good fodder a while ago. They can just take that quote I said about I won't force baptism.
That's it.
I did that for them.
Yeah.
To make it easy for them.
Yeah.
Because one of their staff has to listen to this show every day.
They must. They must listen to AFR all the time.
I want them to get their boss. Hey, come here and listen to Wildman say this.
Yeah, forced right. baptism.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stern. Stand by for news and commentary next. Vacation Bible School may be old school, but it's still very popular among kids across the Fruited Plain. CBN News reports nearly 3 million kids attended VBS at Southern Baptist churches over the summer, some 70,000 making a personal decision to follow Christ. Vacation Bible School, a week-long affair hosted by churches featuring fun adventure themes for kids, along with arts and crafts, singing, and lots of recreation. Many churches turn snack time into an art form. You know, when I was a kid, I got to double dip. I went to my family's Baptist Church VBS. Then I attended my grandparents' VBS at the Methodist Church. Now, the Methodist had a lot better snacks. Almost switched denominations as a second grader because of that. The surge in VBS attendance could be a sign that more young families are now returning to the traditions of our faith. And the best part, kids actually want to get up early to go to VBS. Public school, yeah, not so much. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. 1 Timothy 4:12.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. So, we are going to interview Ambassador Mike Huckabee, the U.S. Ambassador to Israel, coming up in 30 minutes. That's the plan. And we know our plans always work out, don't we? So we hope that all goes well and we're able to talk to Mike Huckabee. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Fred Jackson. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. We were talking about earlier about the passing of Dr. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family and Family Talk Radio. And then our second topic involved, we were talking about the Ten Commandments, where a federal judge, one federal judge in the Fifth Circuit, which is Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana, he ruled on a case out of Texas where some people objected to the Ten Commandments being posted on the walls of public schools. And so we'll see where that case goes, but he ruled against that. So you were going to talk about...
I just want to say this. The United States and, in general, the West, Western civilization, is not going to survive without a return to Christianity. Listen, I understand all the things you jokingly...
And its influence.
You were joking, talking about, well, we need to force all kids to be baptized. Obviously not. That's not what I'm talking about. And I know that there are differences, even on the issue of the Ten Commandments, the way the Catholics and the Protestants number the Ten Commandments, same commandments, but the way they number them. All those, I understand all those kinds of arguments and disagreements. Even our founding fathers were sometimes angry at the established churches in individual states. I put all of those problems in one basket. I'm talking about that which unifies the West and serves as the foundational idea and the foundational ideas undergirding freedom and liberty and morality.
Yep, yep.
And I agree with the founder of founders, George Washington, in his farewell address, who said, "Political prosperity is built on the pillars of religion and morality." And by religion, he didn't just mean a general religion. He was referring to Christianity in this country. And I believe that's true. Without the Christian faith and the morality derived from it, Thomas Jefferson agreed with George Washington, he would have added education to that as another pillar. We cannot have political prosperity. We will not survive. And so unless we do something to return to Christianity in this country, The only intermediate step for parents is going to be increasingly to pull their kids out of the public schools, which have become an engine of secular and immoral propaganda, by and large, not every single one of them, not every single teacher. Parents, more and more parents are going to have to abandon the public school propaganda machine, because all they're going to do in a lot of districts, in a lot of states, is they are going to undermine the republic and stay at war with Christianity and promote ungodliness and wickedness. And to save the souls of your kids, parents more and more are going to have to make the choice to abandon the public schools until we are able to return to the Christian ideas and ideals that founded this country.
Can we get an amen?
Hey, listen.
Yeah, amen. Amen, brother.
More and more I see it that way.
To Ed's point.
Yeah.
About the same time this judge's decision was coming down in Texas yesterday, I got an email from our good friend Linda Harvey. She is with Mission America. Here's the headline of her press release: School Corruption and Propaganda Calendar. And I would invite people to go to this website, because it outlines the dates on which basically homosexuality, transgenderism, correct pronouns, all of these sorts of things are going to be held. Let me just give you a few examples. We got a lot of kids are going back to school.
Right.
If they're not already in school, all right, for the fall term. September 16th to the 23rd, Bisexual Awareness Week. All right? This is where your school officials are wanting students to celebrate these things, all right?
Yeah, they're posting this stuff on the wall,
yes.
Not the Ten Commandments.
October 5 to 11, Ban Books Week, all right?
And that is all about parents wanting to remove these perverted books from school libraries.
Yes.
They claim they're wanting to burn and ban books.
The whole month of October, LGBTQ History Month.
Yeah, we need more of that.
Yes. Coming Out Day, October the 11th. I'm just reading it. International Pronouns Day, all right? Look for many schools to require rigid speech codes and the use of inaccurate pronouns, and claim that federal law requires this, that you use the pronoun.
Which is hogwash.
Identify.
Who's promoting all this? What group?
The groups? All different groups.
Different groups.
Okay. But they're wanting the public schools to participate.
Yes.
Right. While also
removing the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah, or not collision. Putting them up in the first
anyway,
place.
Just go to Mission America, folks.
She's very good. Linda Harvey's been doing this for years.
Yes. Yeah. And she gives
She's
the dates, the weeks, and this goes throughout the whole school year into next spring. So just be aware that your kids are going to, folks, if your kid's going to public school, I'm not saying every public school in the nation.
Right.
But these are the kinds of things the Library Association, the Human Rights Campaign is involved with this, GLAAD, all of these groups.
And that doesn't even include all the woke DEI garbage.
That's right.
That is also infested many of our schools.
You still have a good bit in the Bible Belt in the South. You still have a good bit of small public schools that I know that I've go to school. I go to church with principals and teachers that are involved, and they're still doing everything they can to influence with their Christian perspective in mind. They, you know, have an FCA on campus,
yeah,
student led there. So there's a lot of that going on. But to your point, that what we're seeing in the news is the Loudoun County stuff.
Yes.
And at minimum, you've got to be very involved in knowing what's being taught at your schools, and in the event that you can, which I do recommend Christian education, private schools, homeschool, all those types of things. If you can't find a small school that I just described, I do recommend being very involved and your children's education.
That's a very important point.
And you need to push back.
Yeah.
And cause a little bit of friction in the case, like you're seeing at some of these, what are they, school board meetings? What are we seeing the pushback from parents and even students sometimes you're just seeing these clips of them meeting, having these gatherings, and they've got the school board up there, and they're saying, listen, I don't want to – I've seen videos of the girls, young girls, students saying, I don't want men in my bathroom, right. things like that. So, and those are some courageous people, and we need more of that. You're going to have to stand up.
Yeah, and we see parents reading in front of the school board, reading books that are in the school library.
Yes, everybody school, feels uncomfortable.
And the school board says, stop it.
Yes.
You're not allowed to read that.
Yeah,
and the
like,
parents going, well, the kids can read it.
Yes, right. Yes.
It's crazy.
Right. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, apparently the talks are continuing with regards to hopefully getting a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. But the Russians, in the wake of that meeting less than a week ago, President Trump and Vladimir Putin in Alaska, and then we had the meeting of all these European leaders at the White House the other day. Regardless of all of that, Russia last night launched one of its biggest aerial attacks of the year on Ukraine, firing 574 drones and 40 ballistic and cruise missiles overnight. So Vladimir Putin, the war is still on with him. And according to the Associated Press, one of the things that happened was there is apparently a U.S. electronics plant near the Ukrainian border was also struck. About 600 night shift workers were there. Several were injured. Dan Hoffman is a former CIA station chief. This is how he assesses what's going on. Cut number two.
Yeah, well, first of all, we need to collect the facts. There's always a bit of the fog of war here. And so there's initial reports about this attack, which, you know, is part of a larger attack, massive drone attack by the Russians. And really, over the past few weeks, the Russians have been launching ballistic missile and drone attacks on Ukraine unabated. But again, we need to get all the facts here, and then we can assess what damage was done. And I'm sure that Director Ratcliffe and the rest of the intelligence community will be looking for reflections to determine whether Russia deliberately targeted this facility, if indeed they did.
One of the other developments overnight on this front was Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. You probably have seen him being interviewed on TV. He said yesterday that working on security arrangements in Ukraine without Moscow's involvement was not feasible. What he's referring to, something that came out of that meeting in Alaska last week, is that what's being proposed is a security line inside Ukraine made up of forces, various NATO forces, and I understand the U.S. might be involved in aircraft over that particular area. What this Russian official is saying is, we want to be in on the talks on what constitutes this security line that you NATO people are talking about.
Well, Lavrov, I've been reading some on this guy. Is he the foreign minister, Russian foreign minister? Anyway, I've been reading some of the things he said since the war broke out. I went back and looked at some of the things, and he said as recently as this month that Russia would never approve a Ukrainian government that was not pro-Russian.
Huh.
He said, all this talk about us wanting only being satisfied with parts of Ukraine is incomplete. We want a pro-Russian government in Ukraine. So I don't know where this thing winds up, and I don't know what kinds of conversations Trump has had with Putin, but this does not bode well for the future of Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at a complete and utter stalemate in terms of what else
can be done at the moment.
What else can be done? I mean, by outside forces.
Right.
This seems like to me, for all now, President Trump has talked about further sanctions for Russia, but that hasn't happened yet, and who knows whether it will. Or not, and I don't know have they not already been sanctioned? You know what I'm saying? Talking about Russia, big time, they've been sanctioned.
I think at this point, they're kind of sanction proof.
Yeah,
I mean, there may be some inconvenience, some economic impact on the Russian people with sanctions, but Putin doesn't care. That's the problem, is he is willing to put his own people through some minor economic dislocation, but he is betting on the fact that NATO, that European forces, and that the U.S. are not going to get involved militarily, and he's going to do what he wants. And I think that bet is going to pay off.
How long do you think President Trump keeps talking to Vladimir Putin? Because it's not doing any good.
Right.
And he's been, you know what I'm saying? I need to quit saying that.
No.
I keep saying that, using that expression. Yep. But I'm talking about he just keeps on. Now, you got to give him an A for effort. Talking about President Trump, he wants to bring peace to the region. But some people would say Vladimir Putin's playing him. And Trump's, it's not easy to play Donald Trump. But,
Well, I said the same thing 2 weeks ago, and then a week later they met, and I was like, oh, okay, well, okay, maybe. Right. See. But I think it's just a hamster wheel at this point.
Yeah.
I think Putin is playing Donald Trump to this extent. Putin knows Donald Trump wants to bring peace. Vladimir Putin is giving indications that he wants peace, when in reality he does not. And President Trump has no way of reading what's in Putin's heart and mind. He's going by the words he speaks.
Right.
But if you have what we have just seen in the last couple of weeks, the meeting in Alaska between Trump and Putin, and then with the meeting with these European country leaders and Zelensky, and it looks like maybe there's going to be a meeting between Putin and Zelensky, and then Russia turns around and unleashes for the last couple of nights these bombs and cruise missiles. It seems clear that Putin is trying to get a point across, and nobody in the West seems to be getting it.
We could be talking a year from now about Russia taking over Ukraine completely.
Yeah.
That's not out of the realm of possibility. Because I think Putin basically wanted to hear from Donald Trump, president. And President Trump has said this out loud.
Yeah.
And I understand, and I don't disagree with it. But he said, President Trump said, America will not get involved in this war directly. That's all Putin really needs to hear, because that's all he fears.
Yes.
Is the United States military or United States directly involved. Other than that, it's just... They're just talking words.
But it is interesting, though, if you go back through the – how long has Trump been in office now? 9 months? 8 months?
Since January.
Okay, so –
Seven, 8 months.
Okay, so if you're looking at over that time period, every other situation, even some of the most bizarre things like Greenland, he said, well, everything is open for negotiation. So for him to come out and say – we're not going to put boots on the ground, he must be pretty certain about that.
He knows the American people don't want that.
Yeah.
But even his own MAGA movement.
No, they don't want that.
This is obviously a lot more serious topic, but even in Greenland, he said, well, I'm not sure we'll take it by force, remember?
Yes.
Right.
Military's not off the table.
Then he sized up those fishermen in Greenland and said, I don't know, we're going to have to delay that.
We don't want a piece of those guys.
Yeah, so anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Anything else to add to that, Fred?
Well, Trump also said he wanted to make Canada the 51st state.
Yes.
So I'm going to send a resume in to be the...
with Trump, we all know, and this is all baked in with your opinion of Donald Trump, he says stuff that is sometimes just so outlandish, you just go, are you serious or not?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And he said, I could solve the Ukrainian-Russian war in 24 hours. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, during the campaign.
Yeah, during the campaign. Wasn't it one day? 24 hours or something like
that.
And then so we all knew, no, you can't.
Well, I'll be honest, I didn't. I didn't know that Trump couldn't, that wasn't going to happen, because I assumed, like Trump may have assumed, I'm not speaking for the president, that both Putin and Zelensky at this point wanted an off-ramp. And I think that's what Trump was thinking. I'll get them together. We'll come up with something that gives them allows them both to save face, and we can end this thing. But it seems clear that Putin does not want to end it until he gets what he wants.
Yeah. So All right, next story, Fred.
All right, our own Jenna Ellis spoke this morning with Florida's brand new Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins, and she spoke to him. He's in California. He's not on the beach. He was sent out there by Governor DeSantis to pick up one Harbinger Singh. He is the truck driver. I think most of our folks have now seen this horrible scene. He was the truck driver driving this 18-wheeler that decided to do a U-turn on a turnpike in Florida. And a family, three people, crashed into the back of that trailer and they all died. So Mr. Singh has signed off on extradition papers and Jay Collins has gone out there to pick him up. Now, we've heard Governor DeSantis talking a lot about this case and pointing out the tragedy has a lot to do with California's policy on who gets a truck driving license for these big 18-wheelers. Here's the governor, Ron DeSantis, cut three.
You had an illegal alien truck driver that got a commercial driver's license in the state of California, employed by a California company, kill three people in Florida. This guy didn't even speak English. We're bringing him up on charges. He's going to face a lot. And I can announce that I said initially the company needs to be held accountable. And we've been working with the federal government, and they are pulling that company's license to do business.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the other thing. Part of the test to be one of these over-the-road truck driving drivers is that you have to speak English.
And really? You have and probably to read it, too.
Yeah. Read the signs.
You've got to be able to recognize certain traffic signs, too, which in some allegedly he failed a bunch of those.
Well, there's 12 signs. He only got two right.
And
he still got his license.
This outrageous, this case.
Well,
and these poor people dead.
This is kind of fits along the line of DEI.
That's
really
true, yeah.
You have a fella here. How you get a commercial driver's license when you're
by failing.
When you can't prove citizenship is stunning to me. And so this company,
but that's not a problem in California.
Not in California.
You don't have to be a citizen.
Well, that's true. That with which.
Well, the problem is they're leaving the state and other people are being responsible for it.
Right.
Like this instance.
Right. The actions of California in this case affected the citizens of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
In a deadly way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and let's face it. This guy drove his truck from one side of the country to the other. How many other people did he put into danger as he's crossing the United States?
And how many more of them are out there like this who are illegal with the illegal license?
Yeah, the Trucker Association, there was a rep that was interviewed over the last few days on this. He says there's a lot of Mr. Singhs out there.
Uh-huh.
They don't know how to read signs.
Right.
California grants basically, if you can get behind the wheel, you got it. Doesn't matter whether you're in the country illegally, and obviously that you can't speak English.
Let me add this real quick. We've got a donor that's listening to us, and he texted me earlier. He drove for 30 years as a truck driver. I believe I read that correctly. And he said he was never involved in an incident, anything like that. He said, but in the event that he was, he said, that would have shocked me. He said the reaction of the guy when it happened, if y'all have seen the video.
For those
that have seen the video. If you hadn't seen the video, this is hard to explain, so maybe y'all can help. But the reaction of the guy seemed almost heartless or soulless.
Nonchalant.
Yeah.
You're watching a minivan. Was it a minivan or an SUV?
Yeah.
Run under the truck, as the truck is positioned sideways across the turnpike, and so you know it probably decapitated those people.
But the point he said that would have terrified me. I mean, my reaction would have been normal.
Yeah, his reaction, the driver's reaction, the guy we're talking about here. Yeah, I noticed that myself. Now you don't see, but just a few seconds that I'm able to see.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? This is not a crack against Canada. I'm not including Canada in this. But have any of you three ever driven in a foreign country like India? I know you've been on trips. So
I've been in a taxi in Cairo, which was frightening.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about the way people drive in some of these countries, mm-hmm. like India or Egypt. It is terrifying.
Yeah, the lane designations don't mean anything.
And
they don't.
Stop signs, yield signs, if they even have them. So
kind of like a big city.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you're driving Atlanta.
In big cities, you'll get tickets for reckless driving. I'm just wondering how he learned to drive in India. Might have had something to do with the stunt
or not drive
when he basically closed off an entire interstate when he was pulling that Huey.
Well, he was trying to do the U-turn on one of those areas. Along a turnpike where the sign says for official use only.
Right.
We've seen those. Only state troopers are supposed to turn on those things.
Yeah, and, the fact that he got a driver's license in California and he was not a citizen of the U.S.
And then a commercial driver's license.
A commercial driver's license, the state of California, that just goes to show how dumb wokeness can be.
Yeah. And accidents can happen, but the problem is this is avoidable by law.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Governor Ron DeSantis said that whoever employed this fella is going to lose their business license.
Trucking firm.
Yeah.
It's a trucking firm?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. All right, we're going to be back. We hope to speak to Ambassador Mike Huckabee. Coming up in just a few minutes here on this network, American Family Radio. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.